The epistle reading from Acts. Now during these days, when the disciples were increased in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait tables. Therefore, friends, select among yourselves 7 men and women of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It is a glorious and blessed day as we celebrate the ordination of these, our new deacons. We are grateful for their gifts, service, and temperament, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And we pray for God's work and witness upon all of what they have to do. Jesus said, "The rulers of this world lord it over them, and their superiors are tyrants over them, but it is not so among you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant." The office of a deacon is an office of service. In fact, the word deacon literally means servant. So today we will present to these new deacons a towel, a symbol of servanthood in the church, praying that they will come as even the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve. So may your ministries, beloved ones, be blessed, and may you be filled with godly wisdom and with Christian humility. In fact, it occurs to me that humility is at the very heart of the creation of the office of deacon. In the early church, they were growing and their witness was widening, and the apostles, Peter, James, John, etc., simply had more than they could possibly handle. Balls were dropped, and a certain segment in the church felt neglected. There were complaints. The Hellenists, Greeks, complained to the Hebrews that their people weren't getting their fair share of the daily bread. The apostles were left with a choice. They could either get defensive and dismissive, or they could swallow their pride, listen to the complaints, take them seriously, and make a plan to fix things. I'm glad to say that in an act of real, genuine humility, a recognition of their own human limitations, the apostles did the latter. They admitted that there was a problem and that they decided that they needed to get help and get organized. This morning's sermon title is Organized Religion. And whenever I hear that term, I always think of my time as a pastor up in the Northeast, where many were so-called spiritual, but very leery of anything that had to do with organized religion. A deacon and I were talking about this one day, and he said, if they only could come here and see just how disorganized we really are. So we aren't perfect. And a little humility and good humor about that is helpful. And also helpful are all of the servants and ministers who assist the pastors in the work of the church. Organized religion ain't perfect, but we can't get anything good done if we're disorganized. So that is why in the church, God has called some to be apostles and some pastors and some preachers and some teachers. And it is why a year and a half ago, we were called to form a justice committee. Because contrary to the bad rap committees get sometimes, if you're organized, you really can get a lot more done with 6 or 7 or 9 than you can with 1. So we have a justice committee and a finance committee and a personnel committee and a music committee and a youth and children's committee. We even have a committee for all of our committees. The committee on committees. And overseeing it all, we have deacons. Because we can always do more better when we're organized together. It is a fact of life that we as human beings are limited in time and in space. No single person can be everywhere and do everything. And I'm grateful for the grace that this church has given to me in acknowledging that that is true even for pastors. And I'm grateful also for all of the members of the diaconate who helped me and the other pastors on staff to take care of this congregation. Because it is a big congregation to take care of. A week or so ago, I got an email from a member who was feeling a little bit lonely and left out. Age and health have made it hard for him to be here on Sundays, and he was reaching out for a little TLC, tender loving care, and also pastoral care. I went over to visit him, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time together. We laughed and we joked and we cussed and discussed and solved a lot of the world's problems. We also talked about what we really believe about God and sin and suffering and what happens when we die. He said he's not quite ready to transfer his membership. But he'll be ready. I know when the time comes. As we sat there, I told him I wish that we could visit more often. And he said that he understood and offered to me grace and thanks for the time that we had together. God was with us and between us in that moment, and we were both mighty blessed. But as I left and drove back to come here to the church afterward, I had to think, how many more are there too many more for one or two or three. So I thank God that we have Sunday school teachers and Stephen ministers and agape leaders. And I thank God that we have deacons to help. The Board of Deacons is essentially the governing body of the church. But before that, in the Broadway bylaws, deacons have the charge specifically of serving the Lord's Supper here on Sunday mornings, which is a deeply symbolic act. They help to make sure everyone gets their daily bread, just like in the early church. Not only that, deacons also have the responsibility to visit the membership and have spiritual conversations with those who don't know the Lord's love as we have encountered it in Christ. To that end, new deacons, I wish to commission you this morning. It is important that you come here to meetings and express your opinions, all of them. As they say, wherever two or three Baptists are gathered, there will be four or five opinions. There are 39 active Baptist deacons at Broadway. Bring your opinions. Discuss, deliberate, vote your conscience. We are calling you to govern this church and asking God's wisdom upon you. But not only that. Also this morning, I want to challenge you not to forget your first calling. To serve and to love the people, to visit them, and to find ways to talk about God with them. That is the first and primary work of the deacon, to go and bring the bread of life to the people. These are exciting times at Broadway, and we are doing important things. And we have important things to do with all of the issues facing our community and country. We know we have a mission for just such a time as this, and it is a big mission. But I remember also the words in the scripture, where someone says, "Did we not do big things in your name?" And Jesus said, "I never knew you." Or, "You never visited me." And I also remember what Harry Emerson Fosdick, former pastor of Riverside Church in New York City, a champion for justice in the world, used to say to his church staff as that great Gothic tower and walls of the church were going up over the Hudson, "Keep your eyes on the individuals. Watch out for the people. Don't forget to care for the people." Deacons, you have been called to care for the people. Love and serve the people. Reach out to the people. Visit the people. Talk with the people. And love the people. Love the people. That's the charge. And we need your help. the Old Testament, Moses was trying to lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land. And they were setting up courts, and he was trying to judge all of the cases, and it was taking a toll on his family. And his father-in-law finally saw it all and said, "Son, you're going to wear yourself out if you don't find some help." So the Sanhedrin was born. And Moses' mind and marriage and spirit were saved. And he stayed at it for 40 more years. I want to stay here a while longer. I don't know about 40 more years. I'll be 86. Dr. Travis will be 120. But I do want to stay at it. And I'm not perfect. And I'm not without my own limitations. But I want to serve this church as long and as faithfully as I can. And I look forward. I look forward to doing it with you. We've got a lot of good and important work ahead. And there's a lot of people out there to be fed, and we've got good bread to serve them. The bread of justice, the bread of healing, bread of hope and reconciliation. So let us serve it faithfully and well. And let us serve together, as the Presbyterians say, with decency and good order. Well organized. And with a whole lot of Christian love, humility, kindness, diligence, and care. And may God bless us as we do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together all of God's people then say,